The Hebrew Order of David is one of our community's oldest and most established global outreach organizations. Join Stan Clapp for the next hour as he explores the issues facing the men in the community. The HOD Hour is a fundraising initiative for the HOD. Welcome to the HOD Hour with Stan Clapp. This is the HOD Hour with Stan Clapp.
The time is just after six. This is the HOD Hour with Stan Clapp. I promise you I'll get you finished with the show by 7 o'clock in time to listen to the State of the Nation. I don't know what you're going to get out of that, but it should be exciting. And I'm very privileged tonight to have with me as a guest, Wendy Kahn, the National Director of the South African Jewish Board of Deputies. Not only is she the National Director of the Board, but the Jerusalem Post considers her one of the 50 most influential people in the world, most influential Jews in the world. So welcome, Wendy.
I think I've lost that title. That was a year ago, I think.
No, maybe your sphere of influence has improved.
I've lost my influence.
I doubt that. What impresses me about the board is the structure, and I think what's nice, what I like to see is that there's a board, and then there's the workers, the people doing the work. So Wendy, you do all the work. You've got a team around you. I'm really trying to explore tonight a little bit about what is the makeup of the board.
Sure.
When I say the board, I mean the what you do and what your processes are. Who are you representing? Are you representing me? Are you representing the views of organizations? Mm. Where do all these you're an umbrella organization according to what the website says. And it lists in the book that gets produced every year about Jewish South Africa, which keeps listing the Hebrew Order of David as a catering establishment. And so we get calls all day long. It's Gary Friedman, people. Gary Friedman is the caterer.
I was going to ask you why you hadn't brought supper for us tonight.
I would have had it delivered. And I'm sure Gary would have been happy to do that.
I'm sure.
So Wendy, so let's start at the beginning.
Sure.
You're well over 100 years.
117.
117 years. You're one or 2 years older than the Hebrew Order of David.
Oh wow. Okay.
The difference is that we're a totally male fraternity, a male organization. We don't allow women in. But it's interesting also that the head of national director of the Jewish Board of Deputies in South Africa is a woman. The head of the same position in the British Board of Deputies is a woman. And she also got a name by the Van Zyl. So.
Well, the director is Gillian Merrin.
Right.
And their president, like our president, is also a woman. Mari
right.
Van Zyl is a woman. And also in the Jewish Board of Deputies, South African Jewish Board of Deputies, our president is also a woman, Mary Kluck. Our national chairman is a woman. And I'm very proud of that. I think the Jewish Board of Deputies is a very representative body. We have members from the progressive community. We have members from the Orthodox community. We have old, we have young, we have it really is a representative body, and that makes me very proud.
No, and we're proud of you. And
Shall I just give you a little bit of an insight into how the leadership is? That what you're asking? How the leadership?
Yes, what I'm asking is the leadership, and then I also want to know. You're the Board of Deputies. Who are the deputies?
Right. So just to give a little bit of background, and I hope this isn't an urban legend, but this is what I've been told throughout my 13 years as the director of the board, and also before that many years as an elected leader, that we come from British stock, we're one of the colonies. And the story is, and I heard it as Queen Victoria, but I've been corrected that it was some king along the way in the UK. And he was getting inundated with visits from various Jews with their specific whinges and issues that they wanted to bring to him.
And opinions, no doubt.
And exactly. And answers on how to rule the colonies better. And they kept going, and either whether it was a queen or whether it was a king, turned around and said, I want you to appoint deputies, and those deputies will represent yourselves to me. And I think that's how the whole Jewish Board of Deputies began, because it's a representative body of the Jewish community to the various structures of government. And we have adopted the same model in South Africa. So we have, I think it's 120 affiliate organizations throughout the country. That is all the Jewish schools, the Jewish shuls, the shuls, from the progressive community, from the Orthodox community. It includes all the women's organizations, the men's organizations, the youth organizations, the charitable organizations, the welfare organizations. Every single one of these bodies, as long as they've got a certain amount of members, is entitled to various votes for the leadership of the Jewish Board of Deputies. And we handle the elections via the different regions. So the Cape Council will have their elections, and they will have a proportional representation on the national body. And then, of course, Johannesburg and Gauteng will have their various representation, and they will have their conference, and they will choose their people to sit on the national executive, as will Durban, as will Port Elizabeth, as will country communities. They all have representation on that national executive. And when it comes to the national executive, they will then elect who will be the chairman, who will be the vice chairman, who will be the treasurer, and who will be the people who are going to dictate the direction of the Jewish Board of Deputies for the next 2 years.
So in these 120 organizations, I mean, are they all committed to the vote? Are they all committed to supporting the board, or is it certain individuals with agenda who want to really come along and have a sphere of influence, and yeah, and so up they go, and they try to get representation on the board, and
yeah. So we have to take our direction from those 120 organizations.
Right.
So so each of those organizations, depending on the size, would get a certain amount of votes. So a very big organization like the Chevra Kedisha would have 7 votes, and a small organization like one of your branches, for example, might have 1 vote. And they will all come together, and they will have the opportunity to choose the people that they want. And it's up to them to decide what are the issues, what are the concerns, and what is the direction that they want the Jewish community to take for the next 2 years. And we have to be guided about those directions. But once that leadership is chosen, we meet regularly. In Gauteng, we meet once every month. Our national executive meets, it's about 6 times a year. 3 times with the full national executive and 3 times with our MANCOM. We have weekly conference calls with our executive. So it's a very, the nature of the work that we do is very fluid and very flexible, and we too have to be. So if we are having something that is a major issue coming up, then we would have to meet more frequently. We would have to bring in the necessary people. A good example is we have Israel Apartheid Week coming up, the hideous Israel Apartheid Week coming up in a few weeks' time on the campuses. And we meet more frequently when something like that, to support our students and make sure that they feel comfortable on their campus, and that they feel equipped and empowered to be able to respond to the hideous accusations that are thrown at them. But we also work very closely with some of our affiliate organizations in dealing with that. We work with SOGIS. We work with the South African Zionist Federation. And we work with the Israel Center. These are all, whoever can contribute to the issues that we are dealing with, we will work with.
So now you've got different religious organizations, some progressive, some conservative, some the Union of Orthodox Synagogues,
yes,
is a member, and I presume they have a fair representation. So who's the superior, the chief rabbi or you?
I think the word superior is a bit loaded. The chief rabbi is the religious leader of the Orthodox members, which is the vast majority of South African Jewry, and we take the political leadership. So that's kind of where the difference is. The Zionist Federation would deal more with education around Israel, and very much dealing with issues that arise that involve the State of Israel.
So when statements are put out by these various organizations, let's take Chief Rabbi's office, let's take your office, let's take other offices around the country, is there some message which is given out, this is what you should be speaking about, or is it really each one voices their own opinion?
Yeah, so each one will handle it in a very different way. So the chief rabbi will come from a religious perspective. And he'll talk about ethics and he'll talk about religion and he'll approach an issue from that perspective. We will approach it from a more political perspective. And we will work very closely, not just with the government, but with the various political parties. We will work with the different structures of government from national to provincial to local government. We will work with civil society on specific issues. A good example is on the hate crimes bill that's being changed now in Parliament. We work very closely with other civil society organizations also involved with that. So we come from different perspectives, but the chief rabbi does attend our NEC meetings. And we do have, there's a specific issue that we're dealing with at the moment that we're working very closely on. But on other issues, we'll work separately.
So is your approach, Wendy Kahn gets up in the morning and today I'm going to tackle anti-Semitism, or is it a reactive thing that anti-Semitism is going to attack Wendy Kahn and you're going to be in a defensive mode?
Yeah, so we do both. There's the proactive side. And I'll give you a good example of a proactive campaign that we ran last year. We brought out a group of women from Israel called Women Wage Peace. It's an NGO in Israel of women who are trying to advocate for trying to find peaceful solutions instead of before one goes to war. And it's a many multifaceted. They have an education. They work with the Knesset. It's a lovely, lovely NGO. And we brought out a Christian woman, a Bedouin woman, and two Jewish women. And we ran a campaign with them where we introduced them to government. We introduced them to civil society. They worked extensively in the media. That was a way that we could proactively start advocating for the discussion around dialogue, negotiation, as being a preferable option for our government rather than severing diplomatic relations and downgrading embassies. So that is a very proactive campaign that we were involved with, and we do many of those types of campaigns. Where we also have to operate and what is quite a stressful aspect of my job is, yes, every morning I wake up at 5 o'clock and I go through my Twitter feed, and it becomes very apparent to us what are the issues that we are going to be dealing with today. And we are thrown curveballs all the time, and we have to respond. Whether it's issues of anti-Semitism, whether it's issues of BDS, whether it's issues around civil rights of our community that are being infringed, whether a community member is in distress and needs our assistance. It can be a range of issues. Our students have something going on in the campuses, whatever it is. And we, as the Jewish Board of Deputies, and sometimes we deal with it just as professional staff, and sometimes we bring our lay leadership in, and sometimes we bring other organizations in. But that's how, I'll give you an example. I was on holiday in Cape Town in December, trying to enjoy the holiday in between the rain and the wind. And we got a call from a very distressed community member whose loved one died in China. And they were desperate to bring that body back as a matter of urgency for rapid, we, as you know, have to do rapid Jewish burial. And that becomes our issue. We had to drop everything that we were doing and make sure that we were working with the various government agencies that we have relationships with, be that the Department of International Relations, the embassies. The Department of Health is actually the most important player in these particular instances, because they have to receive a lot of documentation and red tape in order to prepare a permit to allow that body to return to our country. Dealing with undertakers there, dealing with the Chevra Kedisha in our country, it's an incredibly difficult process for the family who have are not just dealing with a bereavement, but they're suddenly dealing with a huge amount of bureaucracy and frightening things. You know, you're dealing with China, language difference, and we work very closely with those families to make sure that that body is brought home as a matter of urgency. So I'm just saying those are the things you can't predict, but when they happen, they have to be dealt with, and they have to be dealt with right now.
So let's go back to anti-Semitism. I know that's one of your things that you work. It's got to be high priority all around.
Yeah.
But anti-Semitism is really, it's lost its anti-Jew kind of connotation, and it's more an anti-Israel. So it's the when you look at it from everybody's point of view, it kind of is defending what Israel does. And it's not defending me as a Jew walking down the street and being, you know, being beaten up or whatever.
In the UK, yeah.
So, yeah. So, I mean, in the UK, it's very prevalent, and it's it seems to be around the world that the actual, it's a misnomer.
Yeah. It's very interesting because there has been an evolution and a transformation of anti-Semitism. It's very interesting because in Europe, they are still dealing with classic anti-Semitism, neo-Nazi anti-Semitism, well, I suppose you could call it Nazi anti-Semitism. But many countries in the Northern Hemisphere, they're still in that mindset, and they're still living in the aftermath of the Shoah and the pogroms and all of these kind of classic and much of it Christian anti-Semitism coming back from the belief that the Jews killed Christ, and this type of anti-Semitism is still very prevalent there. So I think yes, in South Africa, the anti-Semitism, the majority of the anti-Semitism we are seeing in our country is what has been termed as the new anti-Semitism, the anti-Israel anti-Semitism. The anti-Semitism that has been given a politically, in inverted commas, a politically correct platform, that it's okay to hate Jews because you can sort of cloud it in the guise of legitimate hatred and anger towards the state of Israel and the policies of Israel. And we've seen a lot of that over the last years, and particularly when there is something going on in Israel, suddenly we are the ones that are given the black eye. So 2009, we had the Bongani Masuku incident, which we can talk about at some point, which is still sitting 11 years later in the Constitutional Court. We've got the 2014, we saw Ehrenreich. We saw an absolute, so much anti-Semitism coming out 2014. Our statistics just skyrocketed, and hideous, angry anti-Semitism. And then 2018, we also saw when there were the Gaza clashes, if you'll remember June 2018, and suddenly we started seeing, it was 1 month, and we started seeing vile anti-Semitism on social media. We were seeing it, there was a wall painted, in the south of Johannesburg with a German flag and a swastika. We just saw a lot of this kind of anger coming out against local South African Jews for what was happening on another continent. And that's what that new anti-Semitism is about. It's about saying, I can hate you in a politically correct way.
So is the average South African Jew equipped to handle that? Because we can't always have a reliance on you going and standing up in the front, you know, with your shield and your spear, and you're heading up the revolution against it, or you're fighting on our behalf. I mean, we need to back that up.
Are you talking about responding to anti-Semitism, or are you talking about responding to criticism of Israel?
No, I'm talking about the anti-Semitism part of it. We're not equipped to be able to tell people the difference.
Okay. So there are many different aspects around that. When it comes to an anti-Semitic incident, the Jewish Board of Deputies is It's our mandate to assist members of a community with dealing with those issues.
On all levels. I'm talking legal, medical, whatever it is.
We have every kind of resource available, whether we need to work with a CSO and trying to assist in that way, whether it is working with our legal resources. And 9 times out of 10, our office can actually assist. So we have many, and a lot of these people don't even hear about. We have incidents that happen in the workplace. And our staff are very happy to give advice on how to proceed and how to address it. We write letters. Often we assist community members with writing letters. And we have the experience and the knowledge of how to actually, put a lot of this into, to assist in that way. We have situations at schools and we often intervene in school, situations.
Sure.
Neighborly issues. very often we have skirmishes between, and the interesting thing is a lot of these issues are actually not anti-Semitic. And not, they're not even, around the Jewish issue. They are genuine neighborly issues. And sometimes it's good to be able to define that and to intervene before it becomes something that's really dreadful. But some of our bigger issues that have come up, they do require legal responses. And we certainly, some of them we go the Human Rights Commission route. And assist the community member with drawing up the necessary complaint, and then some of them are more serious and they need to go to the courts. And right now we've got several issues. I think we've got about 8 issues at the Human Rights Commission. We've got one issue in the Constitutional Court. We've got 2 issues in the Equality Court. And then we've got a matter that's coming up in 2 weeks' time in the Magistrates Court, in the Randburg Magistrates Court.
So the public needs to know all this. I just want to tell the public that we're talking to Wendy Kahn. This is the HRD Hour. We come on every Thursday between 6 and 7. We discuss issues around the community and around particularly men, but what we can do as an organization. But I'm happy to say that I have Wendy here with us. We're talking about anti-Semitism, but we're talking about the role of the Jewish Board, the South African Jewish Board of Deputies. If you want to be part of the conversation, send us a telegram on 061-895-1019 or SMS us on 34519. We'll be happy to answer any questions or whatever you might want to add to the conversation if you have some comments which are relevant to the conversation. Yeah. So I'm trying to really explore, because when I listen to radio and when I watch TV, generally the person who's that it'll be handpicked, and it's obviously the wrong person to be talking for us Jews. So we need to bolster the fact that, you know, there is an organization which is the spokesperson or the spokesbody for the Jews in South Africa and speaking with one voice so that we're not sending mixed messages out into the public. And also added to that is, I think it's almost more important that the public knows that there is a process going on. It doesn't matter what the outcome, or it's a less of secondary consideration, what the outcome of court cases are, et cetera, provided you go along, because these things sometimes take so long that justice is never done or is never seen to be done. So we need to be standing up for things. And so, I applaud you in that way that you do take on these. And I think it's become more and more obvious to people in South Africa that we are taking that stance. I'm just worried that anti-Semitism is a kind of almost a cliche that everything just gets thrown. It's like racism, anti-Semitism, everything.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Stan. And we've got to be very, very careful when we use that term, because if we cry wolf, to use an expression, then it starts to lose significance, and it starts to really lose any resonance. It's very interesting. In terms of the Jewish Board of Deputies, we like to see anti-Semitism as a one of many hatreds in our country. It's one of many. It's, there is xenophobia, there is racism, there is Islamophobia, there is homophobia. There are so many types of hatred, and sadly, in this country. And with the organizations that we work with, it's very, very important that people understand that this is an anti-Jewish hatred, an anti-Jewish racism, an anti-Jewish bigotry. But it's one of many, and that's why we work with other civil society organizations, to try and fight hatred together. And the one body that we were involved in founding in 2008, it was just at the end of the xenophobia crisis in South Africa, and we set up an organization called the Hate Crimes Working Group. And the fellow members on the group are organizations that fight racism, LGBTI organizations, women's organizations, refugee organizations, all different organizations that are all dealing with hate. And it's been a very, very important voice, because we all speak out for one another. And when there's an assault on the Indian community, we speak up. And when there's an assault on the Chinese community, we speak up. And it's very, very important that we are not talking in a silo, that we are positioning ourselves with all other communities that are also feeling the hatred towards minority communities in this country.
So if you take another view and you say, well, the Jewish Board of Deputies, yes, it fights anti-Semitism, and it is a voice against it. But there's got to be a side where you've got to put a positive spin on it. So you've got to do things, the other things that you are doing, education, you're doing work in the community. I think that actually speaks much more than the fight. If you can represent the positive side of Jewry, what Jews can do. I noticed on TV they have an ad for Israel, showing what Israel can do and how it changes communities. And I think that's much more important. That's actually the philosophy of the Hebrew Order of David, that we want to do good in the community.
And you do.
We do. And we want to show what we do to the community, because we want to set the example. We want to be the light unto the nations. And, somehow I think, is that not better?
We need to engage with fellow South Africans, and we need to be part of South Africa, because if we're going to live in our little silo in Glen Hazel, we are not going to be taken seriously. And I think that, you know, last year before the elections, we had a very interesting campaign called Make Us Count. And we worked very closely with other communities around South Africa and with political people, bringing them in and making them part of our community. We had a Freedom Seder before Pesach last year, where we drew parallels between our move from slavery to freedom with South Africa's transition to democracy. And we had some amazing speakers who shared their stories in the struggle. And those are the kind of events that are so important. Right now, as we're speaking, our parliamentary liaison, Chaya Singer, and our chairman, our national chairman, Sean Zagnoff, are right there in Parliament. They are standing there on the red carpet, and they are talking to people, and they are making sure that they are aware that the South African Jewish community is right there, just as we are there when it's the Sharpeville commemoration on March the 21st. We are there in Sharpeville with our students. We take the high school learners from the Jewish schools, and we go out there, and we are there. And when it's June the 16th, we take learners, and we go to Soweto, and we lay a wreath at the Hector Peterson Memorial. And that's what it's about. It's about being part. And when they have rallies, and when they're rallies against xenophobia, and when they, whatever it is, when there was the fires in the middle of the inner city, we were there to bring relief. Right as it happened, when there were fires in Alex, we were there. And it's so important that we are not just being seen when we are, dealing with an anti-Semitic incident. We are there to be part of South Africa. We are there to be part of society.
Do you think the board gets a bad rap?
I think any leaders have got to have, you know, they've got to make decisions that are sometimes very popular and sometimes they're not very popular. And ultimately, a lot of the decisions that we make are very tough decisions, and a lot of different issues come into it. And we spend hours and hours. When we do a press statement, we have consultants that we work with. We have from various different areas. We have a leadership that, as I mentioned earlier, is a very diverse leadership that we can run things past. And people will say, you know, do you think that that is the correct word to use? Is this the correct sentiment? Is this something that people will relate to? How will this be perceived out there? These are very, very tough decisions. And every day there is something that comes onto my desk, and it's never easy. We always say we are the line of last resistance. We get the issue right at the end when nobody else has been able to fix it. And people come to us and they say, we're just desperate, and can you help us? And that's what we are there for.
So when you're sitting around the Shabbos table and you're having a discussion, sometimes you should be talking about things more religious, etc. But inevitably it comes around to, you know, how the Jews should we be here in South Africa, you know, all the rest of the discussions that go on a Friday night. I'm sure everybody knows.
Mm.
But then the criticism comes up. So, you know, Wendy Kahn said this, this, and this. If it was me, I would have gone out and...
That's Jewish. That's being Jewish. Yeah.
Some people will say, you're taking a soft line.
Yeah.
You're being too accommodating in the discussion.
And the opposite as well. And people will say that we're taking too hard a line.
Yes. I don't think in South Africa they will criticize you so much for taking the harder line.
Oh, we got criticized. Believe me. When there are situations that require a much harder approach.
Absolutely.
And we have. I mean, the one that I can think of.
We want you to be hard all the time.
Well, often we do things that make us feel good at the time. We love talking truth to power, and we love having our say. Unfortunately, that in the long run, that doesn't work, and it doesn't build, it negates you from important conversations, and it excludes you from important relationships, and it doesn't help. In South Africa particularly, where we have issues, there have been certain leaders along the way who have wagged fingers at some of our politicians. That's not constructive, and that's not the way that we actually can resolve issues. The way we resolve issues often is behind the scenes over a cup of coffee in a coffee shop. And there's one particular person that I work very closely, and she's somebody who has helped us resolve some major, major issues within our community. We go sometimes to Roodepoort to meet because it's not something that suits our community for it to be open. It would make me feel very good. I'll get a picture on the front page of the Jewish Report, you know. But the most meaningful and the most constructive ways of dealing with issues are behind the scenes and not embarrassing people in public. That doesn't work. It doesn't work anywhere in the world, but particularly in South Africa.
I think that,
with our history.
Yes,
with our history.
For sure.
Yeah.
I think that in the main, in this kind of situation, people want consistency. They don't want an up and down sort of situation. They want you to be consistently punting the same message, giving the same message, you know, talking the same way, not falling back and retreating, standing up for the community, but also, you know, not coming across as aggressive. And you want to be able to be seen to be reasonable people, which we are. Sometimes we're not reasonable. It depends where you are, but in the main, as a people, we try to put ourselves out to try to accommodate and try to use our influence rather than to use the sword. So in this case, I think sometimes the pen is mightier than the sword, and I think it's very important that you show the same message all the time. I think that is part of anything, even advertising campaigns, whatever you do, sales, whatever you do, and you're selling the organization.
Yeah.
It has to be a consistent message.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, I think a very good example is the recent ANC, not recent, it's now well over two years and three months since the ANC resolution on the downgrade of the South African embassy in Israel.
Yes.
And I think it's a very important case because our messaging has been consistent throughout. We could have gone and been yelled and screamed and thrown our toys out of the cot, which I think our community would really have quite lacked. But we didn't. We've engaged with government, and we've expressed very clearly to government that we think that government it should actually do the opposite. It should actually try and find a role to play to try and facilitate engagement between the parties. And that's been our message, that the minute you shut an embassy, you lose your influence and you lose your ability to actually try and contribute to the situation. And that's the kind of messaging that we reiterate again and again. South Africa has important lessons around negotiation and dialogue. South Africa has good relations with the Palestinians. If only they could work on the trust building with the Israelis, they would be an excellent interlocutor. And I think those are the kind of messages that are very important for us to reiterate again and again. By yelling and screaming and being abusive to our government, that's not going to get anywhere.
No, you want to open doors. You don't want them shut in your face. And, you know, as I said at the beginning of the program, you are one of the 50 most influential Jews in the world. So, you know, obviously you didn't get that title for nothing, because clearly you tread that line. And I'm assuming that the board gives you the backing. Otherwise you wouldn't have been in this position for so many years. I don't think you can ever get out of it.
I don't want to get out of it. I actually quite like it. I just wanted to mention an aspect of the board that isn't well known, and I think it is important, is that we work very closely with our counterpart organizations around the world. And that is really, really important, because we are able to bring a lot of support for South African Jewry through those connections. So, for example, our president, Mary Kluk, she is on the executive of the World Jewish Congress.
Yes.
She works very closely with Ronald Lauder, and she's really been able to open a lot of doors and bring a lot of support for our community through that. Mark Pozniak, our Gauteng chairman, he also sits on the World Jewish Congress executive. We really have opportunities that are open to us with organizations like the World Jewish Congress. Today, I was engaging with an organization called HIAS, the Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society, which is an amazing organization that was involved in taking Jews from Eastern Europe and repatriating them and absorbing them in America. Really remarkable. And now they're very involved in work with refugees around the world. And we're going to be running a project with them in South Africa. The Anti-Defamation League, we work very, very closely with, particularly around issues of cyber hate, because they've got wonderful connections within Silicon Valley, and they are able to help us resolve some of the issues that our community members bring to us, hatred that they found on Facebook and Twitter and other platforms like that. And there are just so many of these organizations, the British Board of Deputies, the American Jewish Committee, the conference. Next week I'm speaking in Israel to the Conference of Presidents of Major Jewish Organizations. These are amazing opportunities for our little community on the tip of Africa to have real leverage and real opportunities to be heard internationally on the global stage. And I think we really do punch above our weight.
I think you do, and I think we do. Proud to be part of that. And by the way, the Hebrew Order of David is represented in America, represented in Israel, represented in the United Kingdom.
Yeah.
And so what do you expect from your congregant,
our affiliate organizations?
What do you expect from us besides a vote and pay our fees? And
We've had such warm and wonderful relationships with many of our affiliate organizations, on many different areas, and we've managed to partner on different projects. And we're available and we're open and we want to discuss ideas and we want to meet with our affiliate organizations. We are all very eager. I mean, our Gauteng Chairman Mark Pozniak last week spoke at the Great Park Synagogue. We are happy to come and talk. We're happy to come and engage. We're happy to come and share what we do. And a lot of it we can't do in the media because it's quite confidential. But we're more than happy to come in and share some of those experiences and answer the tough questions and really be a part of your affiliate organizations.
So the organs that are available to the communities, Chai FM, the Jewish Report, Jewish Life, etc. Do you have influence with them? Do you, because you use them extensively? I mean, you're always writing articles in the, and that's your mouthpiece, actually.
Yeah, well, Tabo will tell you that that Chai FM is entirely independent, and all our Jewish media are independent. So we do engage with all of them. As you know, we also have a show on Chai FM, and we engage with the various presenters. It is such a blessing and a privilege for our community to have an organization like this. It really does provide an important platform. But we work through the Jewish Life, through the Jewish Report, and we try and find as many ways that we can engage with our community as possible. We have our social media platforms, but nothing replaces a face-to-face engagement. And we are really more than happy to come and talk and meet with any affiliate organization.
Do you get their support?
What does support mean?
I mean, aside from the fact that we pay our fees and we vote once in a while when you have an election.
Well, that voting is a very important process because you are the ones who are deciding the direction of the Jewish Board of Deputies. And I think that that's a very, very important process, that each affiliate organization decides what are the important issues that they are facing and that they choose leadership that they feel will represent them.
And do they, yes, 100%. I mean, as far as those organizations are concerned, but I'm talking about when you have functions and you have conferences.
I must say we've had some unbelievable conferences the last few years that have been sold out within a couple of days. So they are very well supported. We don't do that many functions. It's not our central business. We do a conference once a year. We do, and our Gauteng conference is actually going to be coming up later this year. We have Yom HaShoah, which is an event that we organize. And then, you know, throughout the year, there might be an international speaker that we bring that we would share with the community. We'll do a town hall meeting every now and again when issues arise. And so we don't really have that many events that, you know, just general events. It's not really our business.
Before we come to the end of our show, we're getting there slowly. Actually, we're getting there far too fast because I'm quite enjoying the conversation. I just want to say that this coming month in March, on the 18th of March, we have a bingo evening. And that bingo evening is to raise funds for the Kosher Mobile Meals, which is we partner every year, the Union of Jewish Women. We work closely with them on this project. Next week, I'm going to be privileged to have a couple of the ladies. It seems to me that I get more and more ladies on.
I'm just wondering. Oh, dear.
And tomorrow is Valentine's Day, so you're welcome to see chocolates. So it's 200 Rand a head. We have big games. We have far more prizes than the value of the ticket, I can assure you. Nobody goes away empty-handed. You know, let's talk a little bit about Wendy Kahn. What is Wendy Kahn?
Oh, dear. Now we're getting to a boring stage.
Not at all. So tell us a little bit about your family, a little bit more. You want to share something with us?
So the most interesting fact is probably I was born in Paro, near Cape Town. So that's, I'm an arrow from Paro. That's something that normally people are interested about. I've lived though in Johannesburg for most of my life. And I studied at Wits and Wits Business School. And, I've had an interesting career. I've, and I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say this, but I started my career at Eskom, where I worked for
I wasn't going to mention it, but now that you mention it.
That was before the load shedding. I started there. I was there for about 8 years working in leadership development. And then gradually I moved across to an organization called the Heritage Leadership Program, which I was involved in establishing with the Mizrahi organization, and the Kroc brothers. And we set up this organization, and Chief Rabbi Harris was involved in the beginning. And it was an organization which we started in 1995 to take South Africans to Israel and expose them to the magic of Israel, entrepreneurship, leadership development, all different aspects of agriculture. We went for about 13 years. And then the organization was taken over by Wayne Sussman and eventually Benji Shulman. But it was an amazing opportunity, and I took people to Israel, many, many groups, many government organizations. We worked closely with ANC on many groups. And many of the people that went with us on Heritage are now in very prominent positions, and I get a lot of nachas from that. We also incidentally took some groups to other countries like India and Ireland and other interesting Brazil. So it was, there were some amazing, amazing years. And then I was at the board. I started in an elected capacity. I was the vice, Gauteng chair. And, they just said to me, "Oh, Wendy, we've got a conference coming up. This was in 2006. I had a young baby at the time. And they said, "Won't you just take it on just for 6 months? Just for 6 months, then you can go." And I took it on for 6 months, and I've never left. I inherited an office, and I always tell the story. It was 2006, and it was, I don't think the load shedding had formally begun, but I do remember there was no electricity. It was dark. It was the week of Tisha B'Av. And I walked into this office, and there were all these old men on my walls, black and white pictures of old men, all the past presidents of the board, and one woman who was the wonderful Marlene Bethlehem. And after 6 months, they said to me, "Please stay." And I said, "I'll stay on one condition. The men go." And if you come to our offices now, the men are all in the corridor, and I've replaced the men with some very bright, colorful African art, because that's who I am. I wanted to bring color, and our logo changed from a blue and white logo to a colorful Protea that we have today. And that's what I've tried to bring to the board. I've tried to bring color and interest and excitement and diversity and dynamism and different, creating a different board than there was. Because if the board doesn't transform every year, then we're doing something wrong, because our country and our world is changing every year. Every minute, actually.
I think despite the criticisms that I hear from time to time, and I must tell you that the criticism of the board is lessening all the time. I think there's a lot more support and interest in what the board is doing. I just feel that sometimes there's a disconnect between some of us and yourselves, and maybe that's our fault. Maybe as organizations, we need to be doing much more than we're doing, because in order to foster that relationship, we need to be more engaged and maybe attending. We do have representation, and we, each one of our lodges throughout the country as membership, also in the Cape.
We even have in our Gauteng Council, we have one of your members.
Yes, we have one of our members, definitely, yes.
Yeah.
And, we have an ear to what's going on, so we understand what's happening. And so it's interesting to be able to engage with you, and I thank you for coming.
Well, I thank you I was just about to say, I wanted to thank you for the opportunity, because it's only through opportunities like this that we actually can share what we do and how we do it and the rationale and the reasoning behind it. And often we can't do that on the media. We can't even do it on this forum. But we're very happy to meet with our community and to really go into and try and explain some of the thinking behind decisions that are made and statements that are brought out and comments that are given. We would love those opportunities.
So, from the board's point of view, Quo Vadis, what's next? What's coming up?
What is coming? Well, I'm hoping that in how many minutes we're going to be watching Sona.
We're now at our PJs.
And we're going to get a little bit more insight. Although I think these things are so stilted and I think you never really get any information from these. I think that, it's a world in flux. It's a country in flux. It's a community in flux. And we, by nature, that stresses us out. As human beings, our nature is we want predictability. We want to know what's going to happen next. It's tough. And that's not how the world works anymore. And we just have to try and equip ourselves as well as we can and be as resilient as we can and build up the resources to really have to stand up against the issues that we have to stand up against.
And you have our undying admiration as an organization. We're proud to be part of it in whatever form we can do.
Thanks, Stan.
We'd like to work much more closely. Sometimes I don't say we feel offended, but sometimes we like to be invited to more events on a personal basis with personal guilt invitations.
Yes.
Just because we're a large fraternity. We represent the males. And if you had to take the names of every Jew in South Africa, and put them edge to edge, you'd fill a couple of pages. Correct. Every person in the country is somehow connected to the Hebrew Order of David with our long history and everything about it. But you know, we feel part of the community. We feel
an important part.
Our immigration has spawned lodges overseas with the South African content. And people, although it's gaining, we're gaining Americans and English and Israelis who are coming on board into the organization who didn't have ever ties with South Africa. And by the way, in the last minute, I'm just going to say, on the 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th, we have a conference here. We are getting representatives from America, from Canada, from Israel, and from England. And all the country lodges are coming up here. They'll spend the weekend. We have installation of offices on Thursday. We have Friday night, we're going to have a dinner. Sunday, we're having a lunch. We're given the best lodge prizes and everything around the world and newsletters. And so it's going to be a big event for us.
Oh, which month is it? In March?
5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th of March.
Oh, fantastic. Okay. We'll talk. I can't come because I'm a woman.
No. We invite wives.
Wives?
Women. We invite women.
Okay, Stan, I'm just going to zip it now. We don't want to end on a bad note.
we consider women to be very important in our lives. It's absolutely, we hold them in high esteem. There's absolutely nothing derogatory about what we do. We just like to do it on, we'd like to do it on our own without the influence.
I'm joking.
No, I appreciate that. And thank you again.
Thanks,
I wish
Dan.
Everybody a good Shabbos coming up. Thank you, Tabo, as usual, efficient. And, look forward to the next show. It should be next Thursday. And we'll be talking to the Union of Jewish Women. Thank you.